Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy or life-saving vaccine? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Take your hospitality tech brand international? Montgomery County, Maryland is where you can do all that and more. Use our ideal location next to D.C., diverse world-class talent, and our vast business resources to be the next company to make your mark and transform the world. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com. That's bnext.thinkmoco.com to learn how we can help you create something remarkable. Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Start a global hospitality brand? Be next to do it in Montgomery County, Maryland. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com to see how our top talent, diversity, and location will help you be the next company to change the world.
Welcome to the Fandrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 56 of the Fantrax Toolshed and our second of the week with Clegg and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun episode in store for you all today. And with me, as always, my co-host from Fantrax HQ, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's up, bud?
Oh, not much. Just feeling the nerves of the Braves game going on right now. Last night, obviously, being the little disaster. I guess two nights ago when you're listening to this, but currently 3-0 in the third. So feeling good. Just got to keep the lead. But yeah, I'm excited about to talk about the AFL. Had an awesome, awesome experience. Wish we were still there. Like, I wish we just could just stay out there all month and just go to games every day. It would be absolutely amazing.
Right. That would be awesome. On my baseball front, I'm a little grumpier than I was 2 days ago when we recorded that episode as we were up 2-1 at the time. Now we're down 3-2 because we forgot how to hit. We got all those runs, and I guess we got all those runs too early because we didn't save any for the rest of the series. And Framber Valdez had like 400 ground ball outs tonight.
You know, with his 70% ground ball rate. So he went 8 innings, which is almost unheard of nowadays in playoff baseball when everyone's
playoffs.
When Scherzer and Bueller and guys like that are getting pulled in like the fourth, and then Framber just goes 8 innings of 3-hit ball with 1 run. So yeah, now we're down 3-2, but now we gotta go back and win both in Houston. Not impossible, but probably unlikely, but we'll see. But we got a fun episode today. First off, go back if you missed an episode earlier in the week. We had the early 2-round 2022 mock draft with Chris Baseball Pods, Dave McDonald, and Casey Bubba. So go check that out. That was a lot of fun. And now we got our second episode this week, as Chris mentioned, recapping our Arizona Fall League live looks. We got the 6 AFL games and 1 Instructs games. So that was a lot of baseball in a 3-day stint. I was hoping to get to a little bit more, but we still got to plenty, and that was just a lot of fun. A lot of good weather out there, too. Wasn't too hot. There was a couple games where it was warm, but it was just a great, great weather for baseball. And like Chris said, you know, we wish we were still out there. But, you know, we got families and stuff to come back home, too, and that was good seeing the family again after being out at the Arizona Fall League in First Pitch Arizona for 5 days. But a lot of good live looks, and we'll go over those today. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClag. I am at AirCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/FantraxToolshed, for extra content from both of us. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including our other podcasts, SB Streamer, Fantasy Hockey Life, Fantasy Football Addicts, Define Fantasy Football, and Fantasy Football POV. But let's get right into this episode. We're going to kind of break it down team by team. Thought that was the easiest way to go about this. We got a lot of players that we want to talk about here. Starting with, so we got 6 teams. There's Mesa Solar Sox, Peoria Javelinas, which is my favorite team because they have a pissed off looking boar as their mascot. And I meant to get like some swag where there's a hat, a shirt, totally spaced on it, but it's an awesome logo. So that's probably my favorite team just because of that. Then we got Glendale Desert Dogs, the Surprise Sagueros, Scottsdale Scorpions, and the Salt River Rafters. So let's start with Mesa, who it's funny. I think we were at one of the games and we were kind of deciding like, all right, if we had to rank the talents, the offensive talents on each team, I think we both ranked Mesa last, and they currently lead the Arizona Fall League in runs per game. That's kind of funny. Including one game we were at that they put up, was it 13 runs?
Yeah, and it was 13 in like 3 innings, and they didn't score.
First 3 innings. They had like 4 in the second, 9 in the third, and the most ridiculous game I've ever seen with all the walks and hit batters, and that third inning was insane.
Half inning took 50 minutes, like not 15, like 5-0. It took for half of an inning.
That's what happens when you get 9 runs, bases loaded, and still no outs.
Yeah.
And then they bring in another reliever. I forget who it was. And then that guy struck out the side, like the next 3 hitters.
Yeah. Like, and he struck out like good guys, too. It's like, what?
All of it. Yeah. This kind of turned the inning around. But so Mesa, it's every team out there has 6 teams. No, every 5 major league teams are affiliated with each of the 6 Arizona Fall League teams. For Mesa, it is Baltimore, Chicago Cubs, Miami, Oakland, and Toronto. This is probably, like we said, the least sexy team, but still has some pretty solid players out there. Let's start with a pair from Miami. JJ Blade and Cameron Meisner are out there. Blade, you know, that was the bigger name. He's coming off a down season. Didn't really perform too well in Double A this year. Ended with a 212, 323, 373 slash, 12 home runs and 22 doubles in 110 games. The approach was okay. K rate was low 20% range. Walk rate was well over 10%. So that was still pretty solid, but just the context goes and the power weren't there. For Meisner, he had a bit of a better year, not quite as bad. Not a great year, 253, 355, 433. But did have 12 home runs and 26 steals in 102 games across high A and double A. We saw some hard contact from both. I think each had an exit velocity over 100 miles an hour. Chris, what were your thoughts with each of these guys? Like I was, you know, we obviously we didn't get a ton of looks at these two guys, but you know, at least I saw that I was felt good that Blade was at least getting some hard contact out there. Got a nice double in the left center the opposite way with high exit velocity. So, but overall, yeah, that was about it with Blade. But what were your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, and both these are guys that, you know, weren't overly impressive during the season. And so definitely guys to keep an eye on, especially Blade, because we valued him so highly. Like a lot of people, you know, there were some that thought he was a top 25 prospect coming into the year, like that he would come. And the thing was, he was so close to the majors too. And he struggled. Now, we saw him twice. I think we saw both him and we saw Mesa twice. So the first game, he did look pretty good. He hit three balls opposite way pretty hard. I think two went for doubles. I think the other was a line out. But even still, like, that was good to see. And one of the games, at Salt River, they have the StatCast implementation. And Meisner hit one 111, which was the highest that I've seen all fall league until.
That was smoked.
Yeah, until Joey Weimer hit one 113.2. So I think Weimer's still the highest that I've seen so far recorded. But yeah, Meisner smoked one. Neither have been overly impressive. Blade's biggest thing is that he's walking. You know, that's his OBP's 389. He struck out six times so far in 14 at-bats. So, you know, not great. But okay, and it was encouraging. And that's the thing also, like if we read off stats, like some of these stats are pretty meaningless. It's such a hitter's league. The pitchers out here absolutely are not good. I mean, there's a few guys. You have like Gore, you have like Asa Lacy, Bobby Miller, but literally in seven or six of the AFL games that we went to, the only decent pitchers we saw were Bobby Miller and Landon Knack. So a lot of bad pitching. So you got to discount stats a little bit, but also when they're not performing, it's, to an extent, pretty interesting. I mean, guys are going to walk. Their OBPs are going to be decently high because a lot of guys can't throw strikes. We were at two separate games. There was 22 walks. And that's not an exaggeration, 22. And one of those was called short because a team ran out of pitchers in the seventh inning. And
I've never seen that before. Where that goes.
So that tells you how pitching is. So take OBPs with a grain of salt. But if you're struggling to hit, you know, it's kind of discouraging. You know, Meisner's right there with him. I think we must have seen Meisner's only hits that he's had in the fall leagues. He's hitting 188. He's only got three hits, you know, all fall league. One of those being one of the home runs that we saw where he absolutely smoked it. But yeah, I mean, I would say I came away like maybe a decent bit encouraged by Blade, like after his season, because I guess my expectations were so much higher. It was good to see him hit the ball to all fields. It was good to see him hit it hard at that. And we've known that, but it's really just the contact skills at this point. Like, if the contact skills aren't there, then he's going to struggle. We know he's got the power, but he's got to make contact, and he's not really doing that. So that's a concern.
Yeah. No, but there is one that I drafted him late in a 50 round. I think it was in tout, my 50 round draft and hold. I got him late just because I was like, all right, he's probably going to get up mid season, you know, maybe July, August or so. And you know, wasn't really a lot of, you know, secure playing time in Miami. And I thought he'd be, you know, double A, do well, triple A pretty quickly, and then up. Obviously, that did not happen. But I don't know. I'm souring on Blade because he doesn't off. Like, Meisner at least still has the speed element. And he still produced, you know, a pretty good stolen base total this year. And he had caught four times as well. So he still got that element to his game, which helps. But Blade doesn't. Blade is not a speed guy. He'll never be a speed guy. So he has to hit. That was his thing. At Vanderbilt, he was, you know, high contact, good power guy. Hasn't really shown that yet in the minor leagues. Even his 2019, you know, 38 game debut in high A was mediocre. It was actually his I don't like using OPS, but just to show you, like, his OPS this year was 695, OPS in 2019 was 690. So it's like it was pretty mediocre then too. 257 average, three home runs, 38 games. So total 15 home runs now in 148 games and 619 plate appearances after having 27 his final year at Vanderbilt in 71 games. So I don't know, like, is he just like a 50 hit, 50 power guy, you know, 50 game power guy long-term? So maybe he's like 260, 270 with, you know, 18 to 20 home runs. I don't know if he's going to be this super impact back, but I would buy low, I guess. I think he's better than what he showed. I don't think he's a 212 hitter. I do think he'll bounce back next year. So I would buy low if the price is pretty low right now. Same with Meisner, because I think he's still going to be like a 15 homer, 20 steal guy. He's always had a good walker rate. So maybe he's more of those higher OBP guys than average. So I would buy low in both, but only if the price is pretty low. Like I said, like, I'm not going to go in invest heavily in these two. But at the same time, what I will invest more so in now after seeing him, Kyle Storrs. He had a very good year, kind of under the radar year this year across three different levels, high A, double A, and triple A to end the season. 278, 383, 514 slash, 27 home runs, 8 steals, and 73 walks in 124 games. Did have a bit of a strikeout issue, but solid contact skills, good power, a little bit of speed, pretty much everything we saw from him out in the AFL too, where he was probably the best, most impressive hitter on that team. And he's a dude. Like, we were, you know, sitting pretty close to the field, Chris and I, along with Chris Welsh as well. And Storrs, he's, you know, he's not like super tall, but he's just like, what's he listed at? He's listed at 6'3", 200. I bet you he's more like 215, 220. But like,
yeah, he's a stout.
But not bad. Like a good 215, 220. Yeah,
pure muscle.
What were your thoughts? I was personally impressed. I know he didn't put up like a lot of stats while we were out there, but just like the player in general, he's pretty underrated. I think a guy that you can get for a pretty reasonable price tag, because, you know, he hasn't really had the, you know, the great numbers in the past. The 2021 was really his first full year. He had 55 games 2019, didn't do well. So this is really the first year that we've seen Storrs, and he's still pretty low in a lot of prospect lists. So I'd be buying right now, because good power, a little bit of speed. I think maybe around an average hit tool at least. Good, you know, good on base skills. I'm buying right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think with the skill set there, that he is definitely a guy I'd be interested in. And, you know, you could get him for pretty cheap, like you mentioned. I think that, like you said, just the way he's built, he's very athletic, but also just very strong. And yeah, there, Mesa's hitting coach is actually the Orioles hitting coach. And I know Chris Welsh got to chat with him for a little bit, and he told Welsh that Storrs, outside of Rutschman's, like the most impressive in that organization, which that speaks a lot of volume. There's some good players in that organization. So I that speaks highly to me. Like when you see it and then you hear confirmation from guys that work with him every day, like that's pretty big. And, you know, Storrs put in a lot of work from what I heard during last offseason, like during the shutdown, when a lot couldn't go on. And the Orioles did a good job from what Welsh told me after talking to him. Like they did like nightly like Zoom meetings. They did like these book clubs. Like they did things to like keep the players connected, and it kept them accountable too, which is a cool thing. So they were all working hard together and strive for that. And Storrs' work paid off. And yeah, if you look at his line right now in the fall league, it's not overly impressive, but that doesn't concern me a bit, because what we saw was a dude that made good contact. I mean, he did have a double in one of the games we saw him. A roped liner off the wall, like smoked it. And I just think the contact skills are probably average, which is fine. Like even if he's a 260 type hitter, he's got the power speed. So he's definitely an intriguing player that I'm buying in on.
Yeah. Same here. He's going to be making a huge jump up my prospect ranking. I'm going to update them sometime within the next month or two. After I dig in some more video and obviously all this AFL stuff as well, he'll be one of the bigger risers that is in that update. So definitely go out and get some Kyle Storrs right now if you can. Last but not least, on this team, just want to touch on Caleb Killian real quick. Former Giants farmhand came over to the Cubs in the Chris Bryant deal. I see a lot of like mixed, you know, feelings on Killian in the industry. Some are like really love him, others are kind of tepid. I'm in that group. I'm not the highest on Killian. I see like a back end starter at best. Even though he's had pretty good walk rates in the minor leagues, you know, I didn't see, obviously it was one look, but command didn't seem great there. So I'm not sure if I'm just chalking it up to one bad start. You know, I did see that he was working on some different pitch grips, but so that might've been it. But just in general, I'm not a big Killian guy, because I see a back end starter here. So I'd be selling high if I had him. I don't know, but what are your thoughts on Killian, Chris?
Yeah, and this, the best way I can describe him is that he's got good control, which means that he throws strikes, so his walk rate's lower. But I don't think he has great command, and that
absolutely means, agree.
Command is hitting your spots with pitches, and I don't think he does that extremely well. If you look at the results, I mean, this year obviously he had a great year, but 24 in high A
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he did move up to double A. I mean, he didn't spend too long in high A. But even still, it's like not overly impressive when you're 24. And then if you're 24 out in the fall league, like a lot of these guys are so much younger. And yeah, I mean, he didn't get an out and allowed 7 earned runs. I did read this morning he was working on pitch grips. But even still, like, not inspiring. Some scouts that I've read said that his best case outcome would be like a swingman starter. And so that for fantasy doesn't really entice me. Again, like Eric said, I'd sell high. I don't have a whole lot else to say. He's 24. He doesn't get the fastball up really above 92. So if you're sitting 90, 92, I mean, yeah, he's 6'4", 180. But again, at 24, like how much projection's really left? I don't really know. So yeah, I'm selling high in a dynasty league if you have him. I know that on the surface, you look at the numbers this year, they're really good. You might can get something decent for him. So that's what I'd be doing with him.
100% agree there. All right, moving on to the next team here, the Peoria Javelinas. Again, this team was the MLB affiliates for, I'm trying, my computer's freezing up on me here. 1 second, there we go. Peoria Javelinas, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, San Diego, and Seattle. Unfortunately, CJ Abrams was supposed, well, he is out there, but we didn't see him there, kind of holding him out. He still is, to this point, has yet to make his AFL debut. So that was a bummer. But some interesting players here, a few of which we're going to touch on. First of a pair from Pittsburgh, Jihuan Bey and Nick Gonzalez. Gonzalez had a couple really hard hit balls, cranked up, which should have been probably a home run in a lot of the ballparks, but center field's kept it in there. There was over 100 exit velo on that one as well, for 410-foot double. He had a couple doubles out there. I said, he's really hitting the ball hard. Bay, it was leading off for the most part ahead of Nick Gonzalez. The team also had Bryson Stott, Jesse Franklin, Luke Waddell, who I call Waddle just because it's funny to say. But yeah, so some interesting players in this team. Gonzalez did impress me a good amount, though. And he's a guy that, and we've talked about him before, Chris, on this podcast, but how I think many of us were a little too quick to kind of drop him down our rankings after he had kind of like a lackluster period of like a month and a half this season, around, you know, June or so. Then he really picked it up second half of the season, looked a lot better, and now he's back inside my top 30. I forget exactly where I have him. I think you have him a little higher than I do, but definitely a top 30 prospect. So we'll start with the two Pittsburgh guys. What were your thoughts on Nick Gonzalez and Jihuan Bey?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, so Gonzalez for me falls into the category of performed as I expected. Like, he's a top prospect, and he's gotten the job done. It's not like I came away overly impressed. I've seen Gonzalez twice live previously. Saw him a couple games here. And yeah, I think that he hadn't had a home run yet, but you mentioned he had that deep double. It was a ground rule double, actually. He also, one night, the wind was blowing in pretty bad, and he knocked one off the wall opposite field. So he's got the power.
Yeah,
I think he's done exactly what you expected him to do in the fall league. Now, Bay has impressed me. Bay's kind of a slappy type hitter, but he's got a home run and Gonzalez doesn't. He's got good speed. He's got good patience to the plate, and he's got elite contact skills. He makes a lot of good contact, and he hits solid line drive. So I really like that from him, and not to mention he's got really good speed. So Bay's interesting to me. He could be up pretty soon with Pittsburgh. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he was up sooner than later. And I think he could be a solid contributor. Not going to be a huge power guy, but the hit tool, speed, chip in 10 home runs, interesting player to me, and he seems like the kind of floor that is going to hit. So, yeah, I mean, Bay impressed. Gonzalez met my expectations, which were high. So that's not saying anything negative about Gonzalez, but saying that he did exactly what I'd expect him to do, and he's continued that so far.
Yeah, Bay really – both these guys actually really kind of fit that Pittsburgh mold, like good contact hitters, you know, that can do something. I like Bay more so speed, you know, Gonzalez more so power, you know, like Brian Reynolds is a great example. Okay, Brian Hayes is a lot of like decent contact hitters in this system that don't strike out a ton either. Yeah, Bay, I can see him being like a nice number two hitter, guy that can get you, you know, 270 or better average, you know, 350 plus OBP, maybe like around a 10 homer guy. I don't think he'll ever be more than 15 at best. Probably in that 8 to 12 range more often than not. He did an 8 this year in 85 games. Maybe a little more. Maybe he's a, you know, 10 to 12 guy, but I still don't see more than 15. I said he's more of a line drive hitter, probably at 45 raw. I don't know if I'd go 50 raw on him. Probably not. 45 raw seems right. But like I just mentioned, he's a good speed asset. Yeah, I think he'd be like a 20 to 25 steal guy. So the profile might not be sexy here with Ji-Hwan Bae, but he does the things you need him to do, and he does a lot of things well across the board. Doesn't have any, you know, big holes in this game. It's definitely, and he's a name that you can go out and get pretty cheaply. Like, you know, he's not a big prospect name, not the big buzzy prospect name. So there won't be a lot of, you know, big price tags on in any of your dynasty leagues, I can imagine. So definitely one to go pick up. Yeah, Nick Gonzalez is back in my top 30 or so. I think he's gonna be that's gonna hit for, you know, solid average, you know, good power, 25 to 30 homer guy, adds in a little bit of speed as well. He had a really good year, and he ended up hitting 302, even with those struggles, 302, 385, 565 slash line this year, 18 home runs, 7 steals in 80 games. A lot of doubles, too, 23 doubles. So I think he's going to be an extra base hit machine, and probably maybe the best hitter in that lineup before too long. I think he'll be better than Brian Hayes long-term. I really do. But moving on here, a couple other players. Let's go over to your Atlanta Braves, Chris. Jesse Franklin, Luke Waddell. What were your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, and neither of these guys have been huge standouts so far in the fall league. Franklin had a huge year in power speed-wise, and Waddell's a name that most people don't know. I mean, he was drafted in this year's class in the fifth round out of Georgia Tech, and he was a really solid player at Georgia Tech. He's a smaller, stockier type guy. He has good power to him, and he sneakily, you know, he did pretty well and made it to double A actually this year. And in high A's, where he spent most of his time, he slashed 304, 372, 580 with 6 home runs. So under the radar type guy who will be moving into my top 400 in the next update, just like the way he plays ball. He hit a couple hard lineouts that we saw and hit him pretty deep too. So I think Waddell's an interesting player, and Franklin, there's a lot of swing and miss in the profile, but the power speed is really undeniable. So if he can get those contact skills up, then I think we're looking at a pretty solid prospect. But yeah, until he shows that and he cuts some of the strikeouts down, I still have concerns about Franklin to an extent, but he does have an interesting power speed blend.
He does. And he's one of those guys that there was several of these guys, and another one we'll talk about later in this episode, where I was like, all right, they're, you know, good power speed blends, like 24, 19, and 101 games of high A for Jesse Franklin this year. But at the same time, you know, he's a little old. He'll be 23 in about a month or so, a little over a month. So you're wondering, you know, was it just because he was, you know, maybe a little old for the level? You know, we'll see. The strikeout issue is there. 115 strikeouts in 101 games. Walk rate under 10%. Only hit 244 to go with that power speed blend. So, you know, I think there's a 2015 or maybe 2015 potential here with Jesse Franklin if the hit tool hits. But I still have my questions on that. A lot of these University of Michigan guys have hit tool concerns, like Jordan Nwogu. You know, a lot of these guys are like, all right, good power speed blends, but where's the hit tool come out? It's kind of funny they're all from the same school. But he's definitely one I'm intrigued by. I think he's in my top 200 or right around that range. But I want to see how the hit tool looks. Obviously going to be up double A probably next year. So that's a really good test to see where Franklin is and if he's legit or not. So it'll be interesting to see. Last one here from this team, Bryson Stotts, who was pretty impressive out there in our live looks and this year in general. in 112 games between high A, double A, and then a little bit at triple A to end the season. 299, 390, 486 slash, 26 doubles, 16 home runs, and 10 steals in 112 games. Great walk rate, 65 walks and only 487 plate appearances, and really started, you know, really turning it on second half of the season. And it was funny, at one of the games we were at, which I think was the Saturday afternoon game.
Yeah,
I want to say it was funny. We were in the kind of the second section of seats, but like the first in the first row, right behind the walkway between the two sections. And his first at bat, we see his dad coming over from first base side over to the third base side. And what did he say? Something like, mom said we had to get the video or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, he said, mom said we got to get video. I guess it was a good one to catch him on. He hit like an opposite field double or something.
Yeah. He had like this big, what do you call those hats? The
bucket hats.
Yes. Yes. Big bucket hat. Like he just looked like a baseball dad. It was great. Yeah. He had the Stott jersey on. It was awesome.
Yeah. He had his minor league all-star game jersey, which was cool.
Yeah. So, Bryson Stott is one that I've always been pretty intrigued by. Another one that this overall like package of tools, it's not a sexy profile, but he has I say at least average, maybe above average hit tool. He has a good approach at the plate, doesn't strike out a lot. Like I already mentioned, the walks he had this year, I'd say above average power, at least fringe average speed, enough to get you like 8 to 10 steals as well. He actually had a 26 steal season back in college. So I'm on board. Like, I think he's a back end top 100 guy that I don't think will cost you that type of price tag. So he's a great target in dynasty leagues. And he had a couple hard hit balls, a couple of doubles out there that we saw. Where are you at on Bryson Stott? Is he top 100 for you as well?
Yeah, and I'm thinking for OBPs, like top 50. So here's an interesting comp that comes to mind. Who do you like better, him or Michael Bush?
Bush a little bit, but yeah. I see where you're going with this because profiles are pretty similar.
I see similar profiles in both, actually. And you know, for what it's worth, Stott's already walked 9 times out here in the fall league, 625 OBP so far, just because all the walks and a 400 batting average. So, yeah, I think that there's good power here that we haven't really seen him tap into the game power fully. And the OBP skills are obviously there. The contact skills are good. So, yeah, I'm a fan of Bryson Stott.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and this is another good target there for Dynasty Leagues because, as mentioned, the price tag probably is fairly reasonable. Obviously, people know about Bryson Stott, but I think the price tag has not caught up with the actual value yet. So go out and get you some Bryson Stott. Next team on the agenda here is the Glendale Desert Dogs, where we have the only two pitchers that we really saw of note out there. Glendale's affiliates are Chicago White Sox, Houston Astros, St. Louis Cardinals, and both of the Los Angeles teams. So we got let's start with the two pitchers here. We saw a piggyback of Bobby Miller for 2 innings and then Landon Knack for 3. We're hoping to get 3 or 4 innings out of Bobby Miller, but that didn't happen. Miller really, both these guys really impressed me. Miller did give up a solo shot, made a mistake fastball that Downs took to right center for a really good looking home run. But besides that, it looked pretty good. Struck out Curtis Meade on back to back, really filthy sliders, his best. Yeah. That's a plus secondary. So he looked really good. It was hitting, I think around 95, 96 on the gun.
Yeah.
And then Landon Knack was equally as impressive, I think, maybe even more in that start. Working more so with the changeup, but did show a solid breaker as well. I think he went 3 scoreless. So both these guys are pretty impressive. We were having this conversation about kind of like there's no clear cut top pitching prospect in the Dodgers org. I think there's a clear cut like top 3 or so, but you know, some places someone like Bobby Miller the best, someone like Ryan Pepio. I think Knack's, even though I list him 3rd of this 3, he's definitely in that conversation and someone that it'd be a great target. Everyone knows Bobby Miller by now, but Landon Knack's still kind of a not an unknown name, but a name that's not quite, doesn't have that much juice behind it yet. So he'd be what I'd be targeting personally in dynasty leagues right now. But what were your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, they were both impressive. They both displayed good fastball, good secondaries, which you obviously like to see. Downs, I mean, Miller made that one mistake to Downs, but he rebounded well. That was the second at bat of the game. Settled down, and that was all that he allowed the rest of the game. He pitched two innings, and Knack went three and only allowed one hit. I think he struck out three as well. So he was his slider looks really good. So fan of that, he has a solid changeup as well. I would buy Knack. I think that right now Knack's like a tier behind Bobby Miller for me, like as far as pitching prospects, but his value's nowhere near there for most people. So I'd be going out and getting him. Bobby Miller's the name value, but Knack's the guy to look to buy because, you know, it doesn't, wouldn't surprise me if they have similar careers, to be honest. I like both guys a lot.
Yep, absolutely here. I'm moving over to the hitters here. First, I have a quick note here on Cody Hosey. He did have an injury on a very, very scary looking injury that I got in video, but I didn't post because I didn't feel right posting it. So it looked really bad. And his mother follows me on Twitter, so I didn't want her seeing that. Or maybe it's his aunt. I'm still not sure, but there's mother or his aunt. I think it's his mother. But kind of was running out of grounder at first, tripped over the bag, did like, it almost like that Bryce Harper injury from like 6 years ago. Like kind of did like a full flip over, and it was just grabbing his knee. So, but he was back in the lineup yesterday. So good news there. But there's a few interesting hitters on this team. We unfortunately did not get to see Nolan Gorman or Cespedes, unfortunately, but saw some Juan Yepes, saw some Pedro Leon, saw some Lars Nootbaar. Which Chris was just telling me that he's making his own candy bar now, which is just perfect. So like the last time Newt Bar, I would be making my own candy bar as well. But who out of these, you know, these three here, which one impressed you the most?
Probably either Newt Bar or Yepes. Newt Bar is kind of a surprise. And, you know, looking at the profile, like he's made some tangible changes that I think could really benefit him. I could see him, you know, those Cardinals outfielders, like, He could be like a Harrison Bader type. You know, I could see him fit in that mold. And he actually, you know, leads the league in home runs right now, tied with Jeter Downs, actually. Interesting profile here. I like what I've seen from him. He's pretty impressive. But Yepes, the dude's just built. Like, Yepes is a big dude. And, you know, I remember him from being in the Atlanta system. So I saw him coming up. He was in, you know, I saw him play with Rome several times when they were in Greenville. And he was never this impressive, but he's really come on this year, makes good contact. He controls the zone well. He can hit to all fields, and he does it with like force. Like he hits the ball really hard. So probably Yepes is the one that I think has like the highest floor actually to be a solid major league contributor. You know, with Leon, I think he's got the most upside, and we just saw Glendale one game. So we didn't see a ton. You mentioned Gorman Cespedes not in the lineup. Leon has good speed. He made some good contact, but he struggled most of the fall league actually with strikeouts and breaking ball specifically, but we clocked him and he's a, you know, plus runner, which kind of to be expected there, but you'd like to see a little more power from him and a little more contact. So I do have my concerns about Pedro Leon.
Yeah. You know, we saw him get better over the course of the season. He was really struggling, but that's not to be, you know, that wasn't a huge surprise because he was, I think around 2 years without playing in any real, you know, games that mattered. You know, obviously the pandemic threw a huge monkey wrench in there. But as the season went on, it really got better, both in terms of production, in terms of contact, approach, all that got exponentially better over the last couple of months. Then unfortunate injury. He might have been up with them later in the year and helping out in this postseason run. So probably up next year. He got AAA, probably starts AAA next year. Like I said, intriguing power speed guy. I think he could be a, you know, 15 to 20 or high teens, low 20s type of power speed blend. But I still don't know. Like we saw the hit tool get better. We saw the approach get better, like I mentioned, but still have my questions there. It says how much, you know, average is there? Does the hit tool there enough for that power speed to really come out? Does he get on base enough to maximize his speed potential? A lot of question marks there, and he did get caught 10 times in 28 attempts as well. So talent is there, but still a bit rough around the edges. This is not a finished product by any means. So, but still one I'm definitely intrigued by for 2022 and beyond. And yeah, Yepes is another one of those guys where you're seeing him, you're like, man, that guy is built. And he just kind of fits the Cardinals mold. They seem to find these guys and kind of take these guys that nobody else really wanted and turn them into something. This year, 286, 383, 586 slash between AA and AAA, 27 home runs and 29 doubles in 111 games. Showed a solid approach as well. So a lot to like here. Maybe he's a late bloomer. Didn't really do much. You know, his average was like pretty consistently 269, 269, 265 in the minor leagues, but with not much else. So I want to see if this power is for real. I think it is just by looking at him. He's a very strong dude. So it could be a sneaky dynasty grab here that you can get for a good price right now. So definitely would go out and target Juan Yepez in dynasty leagues. Yeah, unfortunately, I wish we saw Gorman. That was one I was really hoping to see in Cespedes as well, but unfortunately not. But Gorman, I don't know. I'm not quite – it's funny. I used to be the high guy on Gorman, and now I'm not. Like, I still like Gorman, but I see a lot of sites like, you know, bumping him top 20, top 25. I'm just not there. I just don't see – granted, that if he sticks at second base, that power is nice there, but I have questions about how much average he hits for it as well. So real quick before we hit the break, Chris, where are you at in Gorman? Is he top 25 for you? I think he's more like back end top 50 for me. I just don't see the top 25 love.
Yeah, for OBPs, I think he's top 50 or top 25, excuse me, for me. He does walk a good bit. He shows pretty good plate discipline with the power. So I think the skill set plays up a little bit more in OBP. But yeah, for an average league, I think he's probably more of a 250 type hitter. So I think you have to push him down a little bit because of that. So for average purposes, he's probably like a 40 range, 40 to 50. So I think that's fair.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. All right, let's go ahead and hit a quick break here, and we'll come back on the other side and hit the other three teams. So don't go anywhere.
The following is an actor portrayal.
With Kindley Assisted Living and Memory Care at Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County, you can anticipate more. But don't take our word for it.
My dad moved to Kindley and loved it. His apartment was spacious, sunny, and overlooked parkland. It was a great comfort to me to see him always smiling and involved in the life at Kindley.
Enjoy quality on-site nursing and rehab services, too. Visit kindleyatasbury.org today. Equal opportunity housing provider.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's continue on with our Arizona Fall League Live Looks recap here and go with the team that actually has the least amount of players to talk about on our list, but a couple intriguing names. The Surprise Sagueros, who affiliates going to Surprise this year, were from Cincinnati, Kansas City, the Yankees, Texas, and Washington. So a couple of not so good farm systems in there, but we did see a nice Owen White outing. Chris, what were your thoughts on Owen White?
He might have been the most impressive pitcher that we've seen so far. He really stout. I mean, obviously we only saw Miller, Knack, and
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And then White. But other than that, I mean, there's solid guys here. But White did look the best of any of those players that we saw. He just had an impressive arsenal. He limited a pretty good lineup that he was facing. I think he went five innings, allowing one run. Is that correct? Sounds right. But
yeah, it was one run. Yeah.
Yep. So looked pretty good there. He only allowed two. Actually, he didn't allow a run. I'm looking at the box score from it.
Nope. I thought he did.
Nope. Two walks, five Ks, and two hits. But okay. He was aided by that Michael Ciani robbery out there in the outfield.
Oh, that was a great was that on Tully? Was it the one that Talia hit?
Yep, he hit that laser out there, and they would have scored a run or two, I'm pretty sure.
But that's probably what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great play. Yeah. You can go find that on both our Twitters. It was obviously not a great zoom out there in center field from behind the plate, but absolute robbery of Talia there. So, yeah, White looked good. White's probably the most impressive that we saw on this team, a team that probably doesn't have the best lineup. You know, we saw a couple guys, and did we only see them one game? No, we saw them twice. But, Austin Wells is in the lineup. We saw him as well, and he's looked kind of meh. But, yeah, White would be the most impressive I saw, and he's a pitcher that I think doesn't get the credit he deserves, so he'll be one that's kind of moving up the rankings a little bit.
Oh, for sure. And I think a lot of that, I think he kind of falls into that group of like, all right, they're slightly older for the level that they're at. So, you know, people kind of seem to, you know, even though he had a pretty solid season in low A, you know, he only made 9 starts total, but 306 ERA, 108 whip, 56 strikeouts, and only 35 and a third innings. So really solid season there, but it's kind of been buried in a lot of people's depth charts and a lot of people's rankings here for the Rangers. Like even, you know, you pull up, you know, for instance, like MLB Pipeline has him 29th in that org, behind some other arms I would definitely not take above Owen White. And I'm not even the highest in Owen White. I don't love the fastball. I think it's a very meh fastball, but the secondaries are both pretty solid. Both his curveball and his changeup, I think, could be above average offerings down the road. But I just wonder if the fastball is good enough to keep him out of kind of back end, like number 5 swingman territory. We'll see. You know, he's got a good solid frame, 6'3", about 200, 205 or so. Very solid frame, really strong lower half, really strong legs. So I do wonder, I don't know if there's any more projection there. He's already 22. The frame doesn't really hint that there's more projection. So this might be, you know, what he is fastball wise, kind of like a, you know, 45, 50, I'd say 50 fastball, but 50 fastball of 255 secondaries, that could be decent. He's around average command, maybe a tick under average command and control. So we'll see how that plays out, but definitely one to target in deeper dynasty leagues. Unfortunately, we missed Justin Foscue. He's out there, but we see Justin Foscue, unfortunately. Yeah. So not a lot from this team. You know, like Austin Wells, I like Austin Wells. Like I've said time and time again, I think he's got an above average hit tool, above average plus power, and lefty in the Yankee Stadium is really intriguing. We'll see if he stays a catcher long term or where he moves off to, but very intriguing there. I'm still in on Wells. That's all I really can say about him. So he didn't really do much out there, but let's go ahead and move on to our next team here, who we have a lot of guys to talk about from this team.
The next two are the good ones.
Yes, we saved the best for last, folks. Next is the Scottsdale Scorpions. Another team, really nice looking logo. I like the Scorpions logo, red and black with a nice scorpion in the middle. This is Boston, Cleveland, Minnesota, San Francisco, and Tampa Bay. All 5 orgs that have pretty good. I think these are all like top 15 orgs. I'd say Tampa's obviously top 10 org. San Fran probably closer to 15. Twins fringe top 10. Cleveland's a top 10, and Boston's on the rise as well. So a lot of talent went out there. Especially from my Red Sox, we got Jeter Downs out there, Tristan Cassis. You got Marco Luciano. And it's funny, we were talking before we came on the air. I guess the, you know, two of the bigger names, Downs and Luciano, who, even though Downs had the home run that we saw in that game that we mentioned off of Bobby Miller, nice opposite field shot, the right center, he didn't look good outside of that. Like the very next inning, first batter, ground ball to Downs, air mails it over first base by about 20 feet, had a lot of strikeouts. I think we saw all of his strikeouts. He's dominating out there. He is like one of the highest OPSs, highest slugging, highest on base, 6 walks to 3 Ks. I think we saw all 3 of those strikeouts. Where are you at? Has your opinion on Downs changed since the last time we talked about him, which is probably like, I don't know, a month or two ago? Because we both saw that he was flailing at a lot of off speed, looked really, really lost. So he was hunting and ambushing fastballs, but off speed, they were just feeding him curves. He did not look good. So I'm still kind of, I don't know. I think he's a back fringe top 100 guy. So I'm still kind of in that territory. But what were your thoughts on Downs?
Yeah, I mean, and what we saw is something that you can't quantify in the stats. I mean, you look at the stat line and he's leading the AFL in OPS right now at 1550. He's got 3 home runs. He's got 6 RBI. He stole a bag. He's walked 6 times to 3 strikeouts. But I'm telling you, the pitching is not good. And when we saw him against decent pitchers, they exploited him. They won at bat. It was against Knack, actually. Knack threw him 6 straight breakers. Because he had thought Miller made that mistake. You know, Miller and Knack were the best pitchers we saw him face. We saw this team 3 times. And so 3 different games, we saw Jeter Downs. And Miller had him 0-2, and he tried to groove the high fastball, and Downs hit it. But then next at bat, he comes up, And Knack throws him six straight breakers to start the at bat. Not even kidding, six straight. And Downs was flailing. You know, Knack threw a couple in the dirt, but Downs was just flailing around at him. He fouled off a couple like they had to really reach for. And that was consistent with what we saw. We didn't see a ton of good. I mean, you look at the numbers and yeah, he does have three home runs, but he's only got five hits in the whole fall league as well. The walks, the patience looks good, but the guys are so wild out here that it's hard to say for sure, like this is a good read on him. But honestly, like I can't move him up much in my rankings at all. And I moved him out to the top 100, even though the stat line looks good, he didn't really impress me enough to say like he's worth bumping back up because he still can't hit a breaker. And that's the concern. When he faces good pitchers, he's going to get exploited. And I think that's what we saw at this level this year in AAA. He really struggled because he faced good pitching. And when guys get the scouting report on him, if he can't hit a breaker, then he's not going to be able to hit. So that really does concern me about Downs, which is sad because I've always been a big Jeter Downs guy.
Me too. And I think we both had him, I think, top 25 or close to it.
Yep.
At one point or, you know, beginning of the season. So yeah, he was one of the bigger followers of the quote unquote like top elite prospects over the course of the season. So yeah, I said he's around 100 for me as well. I'm still in on him. So I still think he could be a decent power speed and solid OBP guy. It's at Fenway, that definitely helps that lineup in that ballpark. I think he'd be, you know, has a lot of doubles off the monster. But yeah, the profile is it's concerning. And there's no other way to put it because, like I said, he can hunt and ambush fastballs. He did on Bobby Miller. But anytime you get some, you know, a pitcher with good secondaries that can, you know, locate those secondaries well and command them well, he's been exposed. So that needs to be something he improves here 2022 and beyond if he wants to be a regular at the everyday level, at the big league level. Because if you can't hit secondaries, you're not going to make it as a long term starter. You're just not. Maybe he's a utility infielder. That might be a realistic outcome for Jeter Downs. I know that sucks to say. Especially as a Red Sox fan, as he was one of the pieces required in the Mookie Betts deal. So we're kind of hoping that Downs turns into something to make us feel a little bit better about trading the best all-around player in franchise history. But right now it's looking a little worrisome. Two other big names here, Marco Luciano and Tristan Casas. And Luciano's kind of the same thing with him. In our live looks, he didn't look good. He looked bad. He had, I think, one hit and another line out the second. Besides that, he didn't look comfortable. But you look at the stats in general, he's looked pretty well. He had a two home run game just the other day. But in general, and we talked with Luciano, I think with Welsh, and I don't know. And we put this poll up too, Luciano versus Luis Matos, and it was like 80% Luciano. But I think this is a lot closer. Like I think the power is legit. I think this is the 30 plus homer bat. I think you can add a little bit of speed in, even though he's been rather inefficient on the base pass in his minor league career, been caught 11 times in 26 attempts, but I'm questioning the hit tool right now. Like a little bit, you know, he got up to high A and really struggled, 217, 283, 295 slash one in 36 games. And so I bumped him down a bit. I'm not ready to write him off, obviously, as an elite prospect, because that was, you know, a 19-year-old in high A. So I'll give him the adjustment period, but that hit tool is a concern for me. Not to the point where he's going to be 240, but I wonder if he's more like 260, 270 with 30 home runs than 280 plus, which is what I kind of thought originally, which bumps him down out of top 10 for me. But where are you at right now on Luciano, Chris?
Yeah, he was highly unimpressive. I know yesterday he had a two home run game, which was great to see him get going. But, you know, when he struggled in the promotion to high this year, like I didn't put too much stock into it, but I think right now he's just in his head, and hopefully that two homer game yesterday gets him out of it, because honestly what we saw wasn't good. And it wasn't even just like him struggling. It was him just a lack of caring. And I hate to even say that, but that's what I saw out of him. You know, he hit a grounder and he just was minimal effort. And, you know, we weren't there. We were at another game at the time, but I know Welsh got over to some batting practice, and he said that Luciano might have had the worst BP he's seen of any hitter ever, like popping him up into the cage, like just topping, like, and BP at that. So I don't know what's going on. I do think Luciano's talented. I'm not writing him off, but I do think that he's maybe a 250, 260 type hitter that has monster power. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch his development. the strikeouts are an issue, the contact's an issue, and you know, I'd like to see him, you know, honestly give a little more effort just based on what I saw. And we again saw him three different times.
Yeah. That's spot on. That's he just didn't look good at all. Didn't look comfortable. Didn't look like he was putting a lot of effort in. And I hate to say that, as you said too, but yeah, this was not a good look at Luciano. So I still have him top 20, but he's in the 15 to 20 range for me now. He's not even top 15 for me anymore. Said still believe in the profile. Like I said, 260, 30, and 5 to 10 steals is still pretty damn good, especially from shortstop if he stays there. Or that's good anywhere. But yeah, definitely not a top 10 prospect for me anymore. Let's hit on a couple of Rays here. Curtis Mead, Heriberto Hernandez. Mead had a nice opposite field home run. He's had 2 home runs so far in the AFL. I mean, a couple of nice plays at third base. I'm starting to think like he could be the next like Joey Wendell type for Tampa Bay. Slightly different skill set than Joey Wendell. More power with Mead, but this is a guy that can play multiple positions. He can play a couple of infield positions, play some outfield as well, which I know the Rays love. So I think he's going to be a guy that finds his way fairly quickly, probably next year at some point. We'll see how what the Rays do in the offseason. But yeah, Mead's a guy he impressed. Like it wasn't like he didn't wow me, but he kind of backed up everything that we saw from him this year in 2021, where I'm like, all right, what he showed, this breakout, quote unquote, is for real. So I think he's a top 100 guy for me right now, back in top 100. What are your thoughts on him and Heriberto?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're dead on Mead. He definitely backed up my thoughts. And, you know, I had him just outside the top 100, but prior, I'm going to bump him into the top 100 this next update because I think that he's definitely worthy. And, you know, I'm not going to take credit for this. I can't remember who said it, but they said it kind of reminded him of Evan Longoria a little bit in the box. And, you know, I definitely see that. My biggest concern is that he's with the Rays. So,
yeah,
it's just the struggle of what are they going to do with him? Maybe he gets traded out of there. The good news is he's highly versatile. I think we saw him play first, third, and did he play somewhere else? Did he play a corner outfield spot?
I think he was in left one game.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he played right. Right.
Okay. Yep.
Doesn't matter. Right. But
so he played both corner spots and a corner outfield spot. He can play second base as well. So the versatility does give him a huge benefit, I think. And you mentioned he could be one that's up soon. He's got a decently high floor as well. I'm a fan of Mead. I really like what I've seen in the season, and then what we saw in Arizona definitely backed that up. So I don't think the value's caught up quite yet. So I'd be looking to get him in a dynasty league.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know where he fits in because they're already trying to find, you know, at bats for like Vidal Brujan, Josh Lowe, Taylor Wallace, who's a very good defensive shortstop. Like, where does he fit in? It was a decent offensive player too. I don't think he's like a nothing with the stick. So where does Mead fit in long term? You know, we know with the Rays, there's not a lot of quote unquote everyday players. With the Rays, like right now, it's probably what Rosarena, Lau, and Wander. So I don't know where he fits in. We'll see. But he gets traded. You never know. So something I've always preached: don't worry too much. Like worry a little bit, but don't worry like too much. Like all right, Mead's never gonna play. I'm gonna pass on him. No, he could get traded. You never know. There's injuries. So many things can happen. Like these things have a way of working themselves out. So buy on the talent. And that's definitely what's the case here with Curtis Mead. And then Heriberto, even though he had a down season statistically in the minor leagues, he's one I'm buying right now because everything you hear about him is just positive. The barrel rate was super high this year. The raw power is definitely there. It's just a rough year for Heriberto in general, just with not just performance, but just everything going on. So I'm buying him. So I think a lot of people are looking, maybe not sell him, but are questioning whether what we saw, you know, back in the Texas or was that legit or not. And I think it was. I think he's had a rough year. So I'm buying Heriberto right now in dynasty leagues. How about you?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of personal stuff that's going on with him, which helps explain a little bit. The power is legit. You mentioned the barrel rate. I think it was 20% this year for a season, which is ridiculously
That's
good.
Insane, yeah.
Yeah. So the power's there. I do think the hit tools, he's hit at every level. And I just don't think that he just lost it like this. So, you know, I do think he rebounds. I think there's been a lot go on. Somebody mentioned that actually I'd go back to, we'll just keep quoting Welsh because Welsh has a lot of inside info here. Welsh talked with maybe his agent actually. And when the shutdown happened, he went back to the Dominican and he was literally just playing on these random ball fields with like random dudes. So he wasn't getting the work in that he needed. And I think that could have affected him. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. You know, if he struggles all next year, then maybe we can start to worry. But I do think that he comes around and the power's real. I think the hit tool's good as well.
Yep, 100% agree. So a couple of good targets from this team, the Go Target and Dynasty Leagues. And another great target right now that you can get for cheaper than these two. And I know Chris is very high on this guy, so I will let him wax poetically about one Richie Palacios.
Yeah, from he's the Cleveland Indians. Probably my favorite player that I saw that wasn't like in on before. And if there's anyone that I've moved up more in my mind, it's then like from the fall league, it was Palacios. Palacios is interesting because he's 24 years old. He was drafted back in 2018. So he played in 2018, played three levels, and was really dang good. And then he tore his labrum in 2019, out all year, didn't play a single game in 2019, tore his labrum before the year. Then obviously the 2020 season didn't happen, so he hasn't played professional ball since 2018. And half of it was injured, and who knows what went on last year. And Palacios just impressed. I think that he's just an absolute dude. The power is probably the biggest question mark, but he's had some solid exit velos, and we saw him hit the ball hard several times, like some shots. And then he hit his first home run of the fall league yesterday. I think I saw that he posted an exit velocity of 108.2, which is pretty dang good for a player. I mean, he's listed at 5'10", 180. He's a pretty small guy. You know, when he swings, it reminds me a lot of Corey Seager swing, you know, how he generates that power with the lower body. So I like Palacios a lot. I do think the power comes around. He's an easy plus hitter for me. Great contact skills. He's a plus runner as well. So even if he profiles as a 12 to 15 home run bat in the majors, like I think that he's got the hit and speed skills to really stick. And not to mention that he could easily be in Cleveland next year and starting, because who do they really have? And he played in AAA this year and was good in AAA. He's an OBP monster. I mean, he takes pitches really well. I mean, you saw this year he posted an OBP over 400 for between AA and AAA. And I just think that the skills are really good. Walks at a high clip, doesn't strike out much. He'll continue to generate power. He's going to run high BABIPs. He's going to steal you bases. And I do think there's a little bit of power here too. So Palacios is up into my like 125 range, which is a huge jump for him. I just think there's a high floor here and he's pretty dang impressive.
He really is. I don't quite have him that high, but he's one of my biggest risers as well. Was definitely impressed with Richie Palacios. And like Chris mentioned, all the tools are there that you want to see. Like it's, the power might not be majestic, but he had a lot of 33 doubles in 103 games this year. The high OBP, the contact skills are there. The approach is there. The speed is there. The power is at least there a little bit. So a lot to like here, where it might not be like the super high ceiling, but I do agree 100% with what Chris said. High floor, does a lot of things well. And if that power comes along, it could be a 12 to 15 homer, 20 to 25 steal type with high average, high OBP that hits in the top of the lineup. So yeah, definitely like Palacios a lot moving forward here. So he will be, I think, probably near 200 for me. I think is where I have him. So definitely a name on the rise to target now before everyone kind of figures out next year, like, hey, Palacios is a dude. So definitely go out and get him in Dynasty Leagues if you can. And moving to our last team here, this is the Salt River Rafters. The affiliations were Arizona, Colorado, Detroit, Milwaukee, and the New York Mets. And this was a very impressive team. A lot of talent offensively on this team, including the guy that I would say is the MVP of our live looks, at least for me. I think Chris would probably agree. Brett Batty definitely was very, like, he was just cranking out the extra base hits. And this, he had really a good season, kind of under the radar season. 292, 382, 473, 22 doubles and 12 home runs with six steals in 91 games between high A and double A. And he was, he's one of the top hitters so far out here. He went for 0-for-3 today, but still hitting near 400. OBP is over 500. That's a lot of extra base hits. He's going the opposite way too. Like he's a great opposite field hitter. I think he's a top 50 dynasty prospect right now. I think he's above average hit, above average to plus, probably plus power. And doesn't really provide much speed. I think he'll give you probably, you know, 3, 4, 5 every year, but just a very good hitter, very mature hitter, for his age, still only 21 years old. So I'm all in and I'm buying on him. So what are your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, you're 100% right. He's the best hitter that we saw out there, and that's no question about it. I think that there's more raw power than we've seen. Some of the exit velocities I've seen on him out in Arizona have been really good. And he, against Gore, a lefty, two exit velocities of 109, which is pretty dang good there. You know, I think he could be like a true four category type producer with the power and the hit. He's not going to chip in much speed, but you know, he did have a triple we saw, and he can hit the ball extremely hard. He peppers the gaps really well, and he's got opposite field power too, which is pretty impressive. So I think there's more power to tap into than we've seen. And I'm a big fan, and people don't realize it. Like he's like him and Torque are pretty much the same age. So that's kind of interesting to me that you know, we don't think as much. Sometimes we kind of discount that, the age factor, but Torque's only a couple months older than him. So seeing Beatty come in and hit like that was highly impressive. But, you know, Beatty for me, I think he's a top 30 guy, actually. I think he's that good. And I think he's just a high floor, and I think there's more ceiling than we've seen. So he's a lot of fun, and I hope he continues this. He looks like the Fall League MVP so far.
Yeah, definitely. Brett Beatty's looked really, really good so far. And so Spencer Torkelson has as well. You know, no home runs. He only has two extra base hits. You know, a lot of singles. I think like 8 of his 10 hits or 7 of his 9 hits are singles, but we saw a lot of them. But they were all hard hit. Like he had several 100-plus mile-an-hour exit velocities to all field. Like he was using his hit in Poland. He was hitting center. He had several at the right field. So it looks like he was kind of working on that, going the opposite way. Maybe I don't know if that's something he personally wanted to do, something Detroit wanted him to work on. Not really sure there, but he looked really impressive. This as a hitter, he was walking a ton. But again, there's been a ton of walks. Like Chris mentioned, two separate games, we saw 22 walks. So don't take any of these like high walk rates. Take those with a grain of salt because of the quality of pitching out here. And guys are just gassed. Like pitchers are just, everybody's kind of gassed in general after the minor league season, but especially pitchers more so than hitters out here. So Torque was, it's just impressive with how he was using the entire field. So not going to move him, you know, up or down my rankings because of what I saw out here, but might have slightly eased some of my concerns about the long-term hit tool. Cause I thought maybe he's only 265, 270 instead of 280 plus that I originally thought. So, maybe ease a little bit of my concerns there, but what are your thoughts real quick on Tor?
Yeah, he falls into the bucket of perform to expectation. And that's not to say that he's been bad, but he's done exactly what you'd expect him to do out here in the fall league. No homers, only two extra base hits, kind of meh, shown good plate discipline. And for what it's worth, I haven't pulled the data for today, but Statcast is only available at Salt Rivers Field, but his average exit velocity before today was 103 miles an hour.
Not bad.
It was only 6 batted balls, but 103 is freaking nice.
Right.
Yeah. So absolutely scorching it, at least when they're at Salt River, their home field. And he has a max of 109, I'm pretty sure. So he's hit the ball extremely hard. And every one of those batted balls has been over 100 of those 6, which is pretty nuts. So yeah, he scorches the ball. He makes good contact. Great plate discipline. He's going to be a 400 OBP type guy at the next level. I feel pretty confident in. So, yeah, he's a fun one. He's performed to expectation for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, and OBP, he's like top 5 for me. And average probably closer to like that 9, 8, 9, 10 range. Just a few, but he's still a top 10 prospect. But yeah, definitely was really impressive. I'm glad I got to see Torque because didn't have a chance to see him in a minor league season, even though Double-A Erie is in the same league as the Portland Sea Dogs, my closest affiliate, but that are in the other division, the Western division, I guess you'd say. And we didn't really see the other division a lot, barely at all this year, just because of, you know, the new travel for the Eastern League, which, or minor leagues in general. So didn't really see a lot of those teams, unfortunately. So I didn't, was glad I got to see Torque. And yeah, he met expectations for sure. Before we hit our final player here, a couple guys from Colorado, Michael Talia, and it's, we found out it's Talia. Just take the, just don't pronounce the G at all in his name, but he also gets called Togs by his teammates. So I don't know, but Michael Talia had two home runs that we saw, a couple of moonshots to right field. We got one on film, but we missed the first one. Unfortunately, all three of us, was me, me, Welsh, and Clegg, side by side. And we were like, we were talking, then I'm like, oh crap, try to get our phones up. As we're getting our phones up, this way, hit the shots. We all barely missed that first shot getting on a video, but he looked pretty good. Had another hit to send to center field as well. Looked pretty solid here. And he's another one that kind of had a lackluster minor league season, even though he had 22 home runs and 10 steals, only hit 228. So it was good to see Talia get going. I think he can be a nice bounce back prospect next year. He gets an average back up. Solid OBP guy, walks at a higher rate. So probably another one of those higher, you know, valued OBP leagues than average leagues. But Talia really impressed me in general. Ezekiel Tovar, I don't know. I wasn't really impressed with Tovar, but had a couple base hits, or at least one base hit that we saw. So I'm not sure. I don't have enough to really move him up or down my rankings. And then Velade, you know, with him, it's funny. We were talking about Velade. He looks like Brendan Rodgers. Like, we were like, it's just Brendan Rodgers in a Velade jersey. But what were your thoughts on these three, Chris? Mainly Talia.
Yeah, I think Talia is legit. I think what you mentioned is exactly right. He's got a smooth swing. He generates really easy power. Like, I mean, big power at that.
Oh, it was so easy. The home run that we go look at the home run. Go look at either Chris or I's profile for that home run that we did catch in Talia. And it's just like, it looks like he's barely swinging and he just drives a moonshot out the right. It's so easy.
It had a launch angle of like 30 degrees. And it was like, I mean, it sailed a long way. So that was pretty impressive. Yeah, I mean, Tovar, I like Tovar from what I saw in the season. But then when we saw out here, I'm just afraid he has no power.
Slap heavy approach.
Yep. I would definitely describe him as more of a slap hitter. And so that definitely is a concern to me. So, you know, Tovar, I don't know what to make of him. He's going to drop a little bit for me because I think I went too high. But seeing him, he doesn't really have that power that I think you want to see. And Velade, he didn't do a ton. He didn't really stand out one way or the other to me. But Talia is definitely one that stood out, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll probably bump him back up a decent amount from just seeing him live. But yeah, Tovar, he really broke out like earlier in the year, first half of the season, he broke out, and that's where he kind of soared up rankings. Had 309, 346, 510, slash with 11 home runs, 21 steals, and 21 doubles in 72 games. In low A, went to high A and was not good. 32 games, 4 home runs, 239, 266, 396. So overall, did have 15 home runs, 104 games, but didn't really look like there was much power there. I'd still say it's probably like 40 power. Maybe he's 12 to 15 homer guy, but I think that's best case. To be honest, you know, I don't, there's some solid context goes there, but I just don't know if he's, you know, an everyday player. Maybe he's a backup infielder, utility guy, just with Colorado. We know how Colorado operates. So I'm kind of questioning if he's an everyday player. So moving down a bit, not like a ton, but yeah, moving down a little bit for me. And then last, but certainly not, we saved the best teams for last and the best player for last.
Easily.
Maybe he's not our highest ranked player in our rankings, but he's the legend of this guy was born Saturday night, our last game out there. And one of the most fun games I have ever been at. And folks, I've been to hundreds of games in my lifetime between the majors and the minors. And this is easily a top five game for me. Easily top five. We had a bunch of the first pitch guys, Casey Bubba, Batflip Toby, Batflip Crazy was there. Welsh was there for a bit. You know, several others. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I don't want to.
Ariel Cohen and
Ariel's there. Reverend Guy. Yeah. There was a lot of people there. Jesse Sevier, another Fantrax guy. Ryan Bloomfield. There's a lot of guys there. And the stadium was chanting the name Joey Weimer. The dude, he had an opposite field tank.
Jacked, yeah.
A tank.
It was so hit so hard, it literally cratered into the berm out in right field. Like there's a grassy knoll, and it literally stuck in it. He hit it so hard.
Rumor has it the only thing Chuck Norris is scared of is Joey Weimer. Like, and it was funny. This was the game that Chris mentioned that was called after 7.5 innings due to Mesa running out of pitchers. And it's funny. As we got up, we were kind of like, I think I yelled it, and I think maybe Bubba yelled it too. It was like, Joey called game. Like, Joey called the game. The legend of Joey Weimer was born, Chris. And a little spoiler, or we're going to be interviewing Joey Weimer this weekend, and we will put out that interview at some point next week, so we're on the lookout for that. That's going to be really fun. But he just looks like he has that it factor, that swagger factor. And he's another guy that I kind of alluded to earlier that had the big breakout power speed blend that you're kind of like, all right, let's see if this is legit. And I'm buying it. You know, maybe he's not a 30-30 guy. He almost had a 30-30 season this year, 27 home runs, 30 steals in 109 games with a 295, 403, 556 slash between low A and high A, excuse me. But I think he's going to be like a 2020 guy. Maybe the hit tool isn't like the greatest. Maybe he's, you know, 45 or 50 hit. But I think he's 2020, and he could be he has showed up a solid arm as well from a corner outfield spot. Yeah, he's one of those guys that it wouldn't be surprising if he's like just keeps exceeding expectations and has an above average hit tool and his hitting 270, 280. I don't know. That could be him, but he just has everything you want to see from like that star type of mentality. So I'm all the way. I'm moving him way up my rankings. He's top 100 for me now. Buying Joey Weimer. Go out and get him. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, he's a dude, and he plays with so much swagger. Like, you know he's going to excel. Batted ball numbers are elite. He has the hardest hit ball in the AFL at 113.2, and he's the only player to have multiple hits over 110, which is pretty impressive. He hit one today that was 110 that smacked off the wall as a laser line drive. Estimated distance was like 422, but, you know, it didn't clear the fence somehow. He's impressive, man. I'm telling you, he's got so much power. And you look, and you maybe you question, but go back and look at the mechanical changes he made. You can see at Cincinnati, he had a huge leg kick, and he's turned that into more of a toe tap and still gets the power. He gets to that power. He's got a cannon for an arm. Cincinnati tried him as a closer once or twice, actually. And, you know, it was a weird year for him last year getting drafted during the pandemic, but he actually went to play independent baseball when the minor leagues were shut down. And while the stats weren't good, this is something I'm going to ask him about. His stats weren't good at independent ball, but I've read that time was so critical for him to work on things. And obviously it carried over. And he had a slow start in the first month of minor league season. He took off. And I'm telling you, we saw him three times. I saw him once earlier in the minor league season. He's legit. Everything I've seen, he's legit. The power's good. The clock times are, I think he's a plus runner based on the clock times we saw. We clocked him at a plus time, and the power's undeniable. I think the hit tool's pretty solid as well. So I think you have the makings of a really good prospect here. That, and I'm telling you, if we have anything to do with the hype's going to go out of control, because it was we literally got the whole stadium chanting Joey. It was like random people were getting going, like people we didn't even know. It was so much fun. But yeah, that was one of the most fun games, and we were having a great time with it. So I'm excited to interview him on Sunday. It'll be a good interview for sure.
Absolutely. And I say, if you can go out and just get one guy that we talked about today, there's a lot of good ones to go and target right now. But Joey Weimer, like, he's top 100 for me without question now. Like, I was kind of put him in that bucket of like, all right, the power speed numbers are great. It's low minors. He's a little bit slightly older. You know, is it for real? And I'm believing more and more every time I watch Joey Weimer that it's for real. To me, he's a little busy, you know, in the box pre-setup, pre-pitch. Especially with the hands, but really quick hands, really strong frame, gets a lot of torque on his swing, really quick hands as well. So it's maybe a slightly unorthodox, but it works. That's the thing about baseball. It's everyone has a different swing. Everyone has a different setup. So it doesn't have to be one way or another way. And his, like I said, a little unorthodox, but it works for him. So definitely the skills are all there. I think he said be an impact corner outfielder at the highest level. So all aboard the Joey Weimer hype train. Choo-choo. We're all driving. Me and Clegg and Casey Bubba, we're all driving that hype train. It'll be a really fun interview on Sunday that we'll get out next week. So, again, be on the lookout for that. But that's going to wrap us up. That was a fun time out there. Again, huge shout out to Brent Hershey, Ray, and all the everybody else at Baseball HQ for putting on the event. It was great to get back to the Arizona Fall League after not having it in 2020, and to Verse Pitch after not having that 2020 either. So it was just a really, really fun week out there. Any closing comments, Clegg?
Nope. It was an absolute blast. I would kill to still be out there, you know, and watching games every day. I think that's so valuable to see. But yeah, I mean, Mackenzie Gore's pitching right now as we're talking, so I'd love to be out there watching him pitch. But right. It was a great time. All these guys, like I'm telling you, it's invaluable seeing them in person, seeing, and you know, like all at one place too. Like during the minor league season, like I see guys, but you know, when we're seeing this many guys regularly, it had a big impact. So it was a lot of fun. Got over to an Instructs game as well, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, it was a good time. It was nice to hang out with Eric and, you know, a lot of the dudes in the industry and talk baseball. So awesome time. Make sure you're picking up these prospects or trading for them. There's a lot of guys you can get pretty affordable. So yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah. And one last quick thing, because Chris has reminded me of it. Yeah. I didn't even mention the Instructs game, which is Kansas City and Texas. Real quick, we don't want to go too long here, but very impressed by Ben Caderna, the second round pick by the Royals. I think he even impressed me more than Frank Mazzucato did, but Mazzucato is still very raw, projectable. We'll see. But Caderna was hit, sitting 95, 96, flashing some solid secondaries. So I think he could be a big riser over the next year or two. So I need to go target there for sure. But yeah, that is going to wrap us up. Thanks to everyone again for listening again this week. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ or over on our Patreon, where we're doing our early positional 2022 rankings. So go check those out. And join us again next week for more Dynasty and Prospect Talk. But until then, everyone take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.